Thank you all for joining this call. My name is Ayele Ajavan. I am a communications manager with the All Voting is Local campaign here at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We are pleased to host this call today, this briefing on Pennsylvania's June 2nd election, which happened in the middle of extraordinary circumstances, including a pandemic, last-minute polling place consolidations, transportation disruptions, and mass protests against police violence. Joining us today are Vanita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference, Scott Seaborg, Pennsylvania State Director of All Voting is Local, Suzanne Almeida, Interim Director of Common Cause Pennsylvania, Sarah Mullen, Advocacy and Policy Director, ACLU of Pennsylvania, Ivan Garcia, Civic Engagement Director, Make the Road PA, and finally, Aaron Kramer, Executive Director, One PA. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator will advise you on how to get in the queue at the appropriate time. And I'd like to kick it off first with Vanita Gupta, President of the Leadership Conference.
Thank you so much. Vanita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, a coalition of more than 220 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. Thank you all for joining this really important call with All Voting is Local to discuss how we're working to expand access to the ballot in Pennsylvania and fortify our democracy for decades to come. This is a moment of real reckoning for our nation, the searing pain on display in Minneapolis and across the country, the pain that we are all feeling demands more. And this moment really calls for the voices of marginalized people to be louder than ever. We can demonstrate, we can advocate, and we can turn out to the polls for leaders who represent all of us. The confluence of the COVID-19 pandemic and growing protests over police brutality and state violence against Black Americans present unique challenges to holding an election. But while these are unprecedented times, Pennsylvania's elected officials fell short of fulfilling their obligation to ensure that every voter can cast a ballot that counts. The Pennsylvania primary election was largely seen as a dress rehearsal for the November general election, and it's clear state officials need to act now to ensure safe, fair, and accessible elections later this year. So let's start with some good news. Pennsylvania's mail-in ballot applications grew 20 times more than the 2016 election. Officials met the demand and processed almost 2 million applications. However, state and county election officials had an additional 2 months to prepare for this election. Yet on Tuesday, voters still ran into preventable obstacles to the ballot box. Scenes from some of the polling places were pure chaos. We learned that some polling places didn't adhere to social distancing safety measures. Voters were confused about where to vote due to last-minute poll place consolidations. Some polling locations opened late, leaving voters waiting in long lines, if they could afford actually to wait at all. Too many voters across Pennsylvania didn't receive the mail-in ballots they requested. And in light of the protests and mandatory curfews, state officials didn't do enough to provide clear guidance about how voters can safely cast a ballot. This really is no way to run a democracy. Voters deserve better. Decision makers failed repeatedly to plan for this election, but they can act now to avoid a debacle in November so that voters can safely cast a ballot and ensure their voices are heard. In the days ahead, lawmakers, election officials, and the Pennsylvania Department of State must take swift action, including make the online mail-in ballot application process accessible to voters lacking a PennDOT ID number. They need to ensure the online mail-in ballot application process is translated into Spanish on the Pennsylvania Department of State website as mandated by law. They need to update the Department of State website and inform Pennsylvanians of all options for requesting absentee and mail-in ballot applications. They need to ensure all Pennsylvania counties mail paper absentee and mail-in ballot applications and absentee ballots to voters with prepaid return envelopes. Voters should not have to choose between their health and their right to vote, and really time is of the essence. Epidemiologists are saying that we may see a second wave of COVID-19 in the fall, and states have to be ready. As a nation right now, we are hurting, we are angry, and we are outraged at the persistent state violence against Black people. But even in this moment, we have to remember that our voices have power. Our movement is strong, and our fight to dismantle barriers to the ballot is more important than ever. When voters cast their ballots in November, we will be heard. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining.
Thank you, Vanita. Unfortunately, Vanita will have to drop off the call, but next we will hear from Scott Seaborg, Pennsylvania State Director, All Voting is Local.
Thanks so much. And sort of to echo some of Vanita's comments, the Pennsylvania primary election we just had was a dress rehearsal, a test drive for the November general election, and we feel like officials fell short of fulfilling their obligations to democracy. PA voters faced unnecessary hurdles to the ballot at every turn in this election, and it's definitely laudable that Pennsylvania officials processed almost 2 million mail-in ballot applications, and at the same time, it's the responsibility of our officials to ensure that every eligible voter can safely cast a ballot that counts. One way to ensure that as we move into the general election is to include a paid postage return envelope with each mail-in ballot that goes out to a PA voter. We know younger folks sometimes don't know where to get stamps, and requiring the postage adds in an additional barrier to voters, particularly in communities that have less commerce, grocery stores, banks, places where you can get stamps. Philadelphia and Allegheny counties did include the paid postage envelope, and we should expand this practice to the whole state for the general election. With that, I'll pass it back to Ayala.
Thank you, Scott. Next, we'll hear from Suzanne Almeida, Interim Director of Common Cause Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much for having me. To echo what's been said before, Pennsylvania struggled on Tuesday to make sure that every eligible voter could cast a ballot. There are some common sense reforms that we can pass now and that we're calling on our elected leaders to take up and move forward to make sure that we don't see these same problems in November. One of these issues is with the deadline for mail-in ballots. As was referenced earlier, the initial deadline by law in Pennsylvania for mail-in ballots to be received by the county election offices is 8 p.m. on election day. This is a received date. It is not a postmark date. Advocates such as Common Cause Pennsylvania and the other groups on this call are calling on elected officials to move that date to make sure that voters who send their ballots in the mail but whose ballots do not are not received by election day but are postmarked by election day would be able to have their voices count. In addition, we are looking at issues around polling place accessibility to make sure that as polling places are sited, that they are not only accessible for individuals with disabilities, but also located on public transit lines and placed in locations where community members have indicated that it makes sense for people to gather. And with that, I will pass it back.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Next, we'll hear from Sarah Mullen, Advocacy and Policy Director, ACLU of Pennsylvania.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to talk a little bit about vote by mail. So for those of you who are not familiar with Pennsylvania elections, this is the first election where everybody was entitled to vote by mail if they wanted to. So even in ideal circumstances, which this was definitely not, we knew there would be a steep learning curve. And also our counties, which are responsible for running the vote by mail program and sending out the ballots and processing them, they are very much underfunded, these offices. So it wasn't a surprise to find out that we heard a lot of complaints from voters that many of them were not receiving their ballots at all, or they received it too late in the mail on election day. For instance, many people received it the day before the day of election day. And that severity of that problem really varied county by county. So before I get into those, I just want to mention that So what I'm about to tell you are either anecdotal evidence from someone who called us or actually family members in many cases, from media reports or sometimes the counties themselves. So we are still waiting for accurate statistics, which we won't get for some time to be really able to take a deep dive into some of this. But some of the counties here that had the biggest problems that we heard about, Allegheny County, we got a lot of complaints about people who never received their ballots, and there was no one in the county office that would answer the phone, so they couldn't call to let people know they hadn't received their ballots. Delaware County was actually shockingly forthright about it on its own website on June 1st, the day before the election. They posted and said that they had sent out 6,000 ballots that day, Monday, the day before the election, and admitted that point blank that there were 400 voters that they just couldn't get their ballots out to them. So I appreciate their honesty, but that is deeply troublesome to see that. York County was also something similar problems. We know of voters who applied in early May who did not receive their ballots until the Saturday before the election. And Montgomery County was sort of a comedy of errors. For those who followed what happened, there were problems with people receiving the wrong parties, the wrong party's ballot. There were problems with addresses. The last line with the apartment number was left off for many voters, and so they could not get their ballots that way. And there were poor instructions, misleading instructions in some batches of them as well. So that was another large problem. And I just want to be clear that this is not a matter of voters waiting till the very last minute to apply. I mean, that certainly happens. But for instance, Delaware County, a family member of someone on our staff, they applied April 8th. They did not get the ballot until May 28th, and the same thing with their spouse. So it is clear that that's not the problem. And in fact, Philadelphia received 15,000 applications the last day, and they were able to process those and turn those around within 2 days. People were receiving their ballots. So the things that exacerbated that were the lack of information from counties, as I mentioned, and the fact that there were really no, many counties did not have enough drop boxes. Allegheny County, the second largest county in the state, only had one drop box, and many of the other counties were creative about their use of drop boxes, adding to them to polling places and having mobile drop boxes. So we just urge that for November, people really take a deep dive into what these problems were. We think one of the biggest problems is funding, and we want to make sure that the state and counties fund these election offices for what will be a critical election. Thank you. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to Ivan.
Great. Thank you so much. So my name is Ivan Garcia. I'm the Civic Engagement Director with Make the Road Pennsylvania. And we look to build power for justice in the Latinx immigrant and working class communities of color in Pennsylvania, mainly in Lehigh, Berks, and Philadelphia, northeast region. And we are known to dabble in the surrounding areas. And you've heard already about vote by mail. And I want to just give a little bit of data points on that. Although we saw a low in-person turnout in the Pennsylvania's primary, we still saw voters in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh waiting over an hour to vote due to consolidated poll sites. It is very possible that we can see these waits across the state in the general election if we don't increase the number of voters who vote by mail. One way that we can fix this is for the state to send every registered voter a ballot. At the very least, every voter should be sent a mail application. We saw that this happened in Luzerne and Allegheny County, and they are amongst the counties with the highest percentage of voters who requested a ballot. And just to get a little bit more details, Luzerne County saw 26% of their voters request a ballot via mail. And in Allegheny, we saw 32% of their voters request a ballot via mail. In comparison to the counties that we work in, Berks County, and just to be clear, none of the counties that I'm going to name now sent the application. In Berks County, 19% of voters requested their ballot. In Lehigh, it was 21. Philadelphia, also 21. Bucks, you see a bit of an increase up to 22. Northampton, 21. And we're talking about thousands of potential additional voters. if we were to send everyone the ballot and performed at the same rate as Luzerne or Allegheny County, on the low end for Berks County, that meant an additional 16,000 voters. And on the high end, at 32%, we're talking about 30,000 additional voters. So we're not talking about a few couple or 100 voters that we missed. The data is there, and we know that this is possible because two counties already done it. And with that, I'll pass it back to Yele.
Thank you so much, Ivan. Finally, we'll hear from Erin Kramer, Executive Director, 1PA.
Hi, thank you. And I want to thank All Voting is Local for putting this together. One Pennsylvania works in three counties, Allegheny County in the west, Philadelphia, and Delaware County in the southeast. And we work in what we refer to as politically neglected communities. Our members are folks who live in hard-to-count households for the census, unlikely to be registered to vote at their current address, non-competitive districts, and so not deeply politically engaged, either in the primary process and often shallowly engaged in the general election cycle. Because of that, I actually think that we have a unique perspective on this election. What we saw were consolidated polling locations in Black communities that did not allow for social distancing, that combined polling site work groups that actually weren't trained how to work together. And on top of that, in communities that had seen an uprising and shocking levels of state-sanctioned violence, whether that was deployment of National Guard troops or local law enforcement officials up armoring into riot gear, or, as we saw in Fishtown, Philadelphia, bands of white vigilante men with bats and shovels being high-fived by the police, that in that context, voters were asked to exercise their franchise. So what I want to talk about is actually vote centers. We need vote centers. If we're going to have consolidated polling locations, we have to do better than we did on Tuesday. They can't be in police stations. They can't crowd a whole bunch of people together. They need to be accessible, well-located, well-advertised, with well-trained and well-resourced staff working together. I would also argue that we would also argue that vote centers would be well-sited and on public transit lines, and that voters could participate in the election regardless of where they are registered to vote. Within a county, if you access a vote center, and this happens in other states, it happens in red states and blue states. Instead, what we saw was a variety of failures on Tuesday. We had election protection lawyers going to court to keep Penn Hills Library open late because of the volume of voters trying to return their ballots. Penn Hills includes a large and growing African-American community. Militarized police presence in Wilkinsburg, where the judge of elections called the constable to stand guard all day and to actually wear a full black suit of tactical gear, including a gun, a body camera, and a bulletproof vest, so that black voters had to walk past up-armored police presence in order to exercise their franchise. In addition, we saw polling locations in Philadelphia and ballot drop boxes, which required voters to walk past National Guardsmen and their vehicles. In addition to that, you know, the in-person experience, almost half of the voters that we received completed surveys from, about 400 voters across the state, about half of those voters at consolidated polling locations were asked for ID. And we saw wait times of more than 30 minutes for about a third of the voters that we surveyed as well. I'll pass it back to Ayala.
Thank you so much, Erin. We're now ready to take some questions from reporters. Operator James, can you please provide instructions?
I sure can. We can begin our Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone. If you wish to be removed from the question queue, press the pound sign or the hash key. And if you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, press star 1 Our first question is from Tierney Sneed.
Hi, this is Tierney Sneed from Talking Points Memo. Thanks for holding the call. I wanted to ask just about the sort of vote by mail element of this. Do you have a sense yet if the states that had problems fulfilling ballot requests, if some of the shortcomings were due to a failure to purchase sort of the equipment or use the vendors or staff up in a way that could have better handled the surge? In a broader sense, do you have a sense of or any examples where certain counties or the state as a whole took steps that were positive and that helped mitigate some of these issues or worked well that other states can learn from? Thanks much.
I'm sorry, Tierney, was that directed at someone in particular?
No one in particular. I think, let me pull up my notes. I know Sarah had a lot of interesting statistics about what was going on a county level, but if anyone else has any more insight just generally into sort of what worked well in terms of Pennsylvania's ability to scale up their vote-by-mail operations and what didn't, just as something that other states and jurisdictions can learn from, I would love to hear more about that.
That the Department of State, I mean, when you talk about scaling up vote-by-mail, we had no vote-by-mail last year or in any previous elections. This is our first vote-by-mail election, and there were 1.8 million voters who either requested a mail ballot or an absentee ballot. So I think that, you know, in no universe do you scale at that level, right? That there's a layer of things that happened, whether it was the passage of the new law and the pandemic, that it moved a lot of folks to request a mail ballot. And we're very excited about the opportunity that mail balloting presents for folks to have a universal right to vote, universal suffrage. I think that being said, it is, you know, it is a stress test of the ability of the state election system to deliver. And we saw some really positive things happen. Each county implemented in their own way. We saw some really positive things happen, and we saw some really negative things happen, which I think Sarah walked us through. We need to learn a lot from this election and disseminate best practices. We also need to look at where county boards of elections fell short and analyze that, and they need to make changes quickly. Is that helpful?
Sure. Thank you.
This is Sarah, the ACLU. I just want to mention that the one place we do know that used a vendor was Montgomery County, and a lot of all their problems were from the vendor. But I don't know that we know how the other counties handled it behind the scenes. We don't always know that.
Okay.
This is Scott Seaborg. All voting is local. And just to add one more thing, there is a piece of sort of bulk ordering that some other states have done to not only secure a better price, but potentially have a closer relationship with counties governed by a larger agreement. And so I think moving forward, it would be worth taking a look at what type of vendor agreements we can arrange with the state as an entity purchasing that, and then making sure that they're both supporting the counties with those costs and working carefully with them at the local level so that we don't have any snafus.
Can I just say, it's so timely. I just got a text from one of our organizers whose mother is a postal worker and delivers the mail, and she just informed her daughter that she's delivering official ballots today. So we don't know how many people were disenfranchised by receiving their ballot late. We might well never know that, but it is worth noting.
And this is Sarah. Sorry, you've got a bunch of people that really care about this, so we'll keep answering these questions forever if you let us. But I did want to add that one solution we're talking about is potentially mailing ballots to everyone, because that would really mean that was done one time. You wouldn't have to have all the processing problems, the back and forth with each county. And then, sure, there'll be ballots that don't make it, but they will know when they should have made it there, and the counties can be able to then spend their time answering those questions and getting those, you know, replacement ballots out or whatever is needed. So I think that is absolutely one solution. And another one is some kind of ballot tracking software. There was a tracking, some tracking the ability through the state system, but not. But if there's actually a a QR code or whatever it would be, some special code that they could track the ballot through the entire process, I think that would do a lot to alleviate the concerns or figure out where the problems were.
Our next question is from Scott Fulton.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Scott Fulton from CBS Interactive. I'm curious to ask the panel, I know that Lenita had spoken of Pennsylvania state officials in her work falling short of their obligations. To what extent did electronic voting systems either help smooth things along for certain counties, perhaps throughout the state, or perhaps contribute to some of that falling short of obligations, both in the sense of helping people in in-person voting, as well as taking care of counting all those votes by mail?
This is Suzanne from Common Cause. I can start with that, and then I'm sure there will be folks who want to jump in. So we know that there are 22 counties that were using new machines or new paper-based systems in this election. Surprisingly, we had relatively few reports of machines going down or a lack of poll worker training on the machines. I think whenever we have new machines or new-ish machines, right, in many of the other counties, this was the first or second time that they had used them, there are always struggles. It just is part of the learning process, both for poll workers and, quite frankly, for voters as well, getting used to what a process looks like after you've been voting on the same type of machines for, in some places, 10 years. As far as technology like high-speed scanners, we know that we did not receive any reports of kind of at the end of the day problems with those high-speed scanners, although we did have some anecdotal reports in the middle of the day about issues in Lancaster County with the scanners malfunctioning. That being said, I think we know that in order to have an effective election in November, county elections officials are going to need more staff and more technology, and I think that this was certainly a learning experience to kind of see what those thresholds will be so we can prepare moving forward.
With respect to it being a learning experience, do we know yet any anecdotes about what was learned?
I think maybe that's a question for the boards of election.
Very good.
You know, one other piece on the electronic systems, Scott Seaborg again, is one way to avoid some of the back and forth mail is to utilize, when requesting a vote by mail ballot, utilize the online form. And it definitely works great if you have a Pennsylvania ID number and you're not a limited English proficiency voter. However, if you do not have the ID card for whatever reason and are a limited English proficiency voter, that digital option isn't available for you. And so we think moving forward it'll be very important to allow folks to at least view the application online in Spanish, as well as open that process up to folks who are utilizing the last four digits of their Social Security number as a citizenship identifier.
Our next question from Jonathan Tamari.
Hi, all. Thank you for doing the call. Two questions, if I could, quickly. The what did you all see or hear when it came to just public health and dealing with COVID as far as protecting poll workers, protecting voters? Was there enough of that? Were there things that need to be done differently if it's still an issue in November? And on the issue of the police presence around drop boxes, I would just anticipating that if you ask election officials about it, they'll say that those are things that need to be protected. So what could be done differently there that would make that less of an intimidating presence, but still protect those ballots? Thank you.
Again, okay, this is Erin Kramer. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Erin, you're good.
Yeah. So Allegheny County, Philadelphia County, Delaware County, very dense, higher in-person voter turnout than some of, and like more densely populated consolidated polling locations. What we saw in a couple of different places were the kind of infrastructure that actually pushes people together as opposed to allowing them to stand separately and distantly. The Penn Hills Library, just as an example, is located at the top of the hill with a small parking lot and not a lot of space for people to stand. So what we saw were people waiting along the driveway or the road up to the library in their cars. There was a question at 8 p.m. when there were about 100 people in line whether or not being in your car in line counted as being in line for the ballot or not. So people were being responsible with their health, and at the same time, we had to have sort of last-minute conversations about what that would mean for their ability to cast their ballot. You know, I think the other thing we would say is that poll workers were concerned about their health. I think voters obviously were concerned about their health, but poll workers certainly were concerned about their health. And then the last thing we saw was that there was some electioneering happening at the polls that was not respectful of physical distancing. And I'm not sure if people saw, but in Allegheny County, we had at least one example of a middle-aged white gentleman attempting to intimidate voters in a non-socially distant way when he was asked to put on a mask and confronted by a pretty low-key constable. He commenced a wrestling match and pushed the constable into a dumpster. So I think there's a lot of concerns about physical distancing, and we expect to see a spike, just like they saw in Milwaukee, of COVID infections after Tuesday's election.
And this is Sarah from the ACLU. I just want to jump in to add, too, that one of the problems we encountered with people who didn't receive their ballots was that the only option for them was to go vote provisionally, but a lot of the people that contacted us were people who were at risk of COVID-19, either for age or underlying health reasons, and so they didn't feel comfortable going to vote in person.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star one on your phone.
While we're waiting for the next question, I would be remiss if I didn't say that in both Philadelphia and Allegheny County, if you needed to go to the Board of Elections to vote provisionally, you had to walk past and through both National Guard and law enforcement officers, some of whom were stationed with dogs, which is the kind of violence that and state-sanctioned violence that we've been seeing over the previous 4 days is absolutely unacceptable for people to have to endure that to vote.
And we have a question from Scott Fulton again.
Yes, thank you. With respect to the idea that perhaps in a future election, everybody could be mailed a ballot, what is preventing that from happening from a legal perspective, from a legislative perspective, from a logistics perspective? What's preventing Pennsylvania from essentially giving everybody who deserves to vote a ballot?
This is Suzanne from Common Cause. So We have floated this around. It would require a legislative change, is our understanding, because the Pennsylvania Election Code lays out a process to request an absentee or mail-in ballot. Our understanding is that in order to send a ballot to everyone, regardless of whether or not they requested one, there would need to be a legislative change. We are starting those conversations and are hopeful that given what we have seen on Tuesday, that legislators will be amenable to making these kind of common sense changes that will make sure that everyone can vote.
Can those changes happen by November?
In theory, yes. There is enough time. There's enough legislative days. I think it's a matter of will, not availability.
And this is Sarah from the ACLU. I would also like to just add, while we would like all mail-in ballots mailed to everyone, we still think there's a very strong need for there to be in-person voting options. It's known that particularly in communities of color who want to vote in person and feel more comfortable and feel like that is a better way to make sure their vote is actually counted. So we really think it is important that there be in-person voting options as well.
Very good. Thank you, ladies.
Ivan, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll add, I guess, is if we can't pass this legislatively, we know that the counties can take it upon themselves to send everyone an application at the bare minimum. So I think, like, obviously the hope is that we can pass this legislatively, you know, with bipartisan support. But if that's not possible, I think there should be a call for the county to send everyone an application.
And once again, if you have a question, press star one on your phone. And it looks like there are no more questions.
Okay. Thank you so much, James. This concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be releasing the audio of this call later today. If you have any additional questions or if you need to reach any of the speakers, please contact us at press@civilrights.org or AYELE@allvotingislocal.org. Thank you, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us.